If you'd open your Bibles once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to continue on what we were dealing with in our last lesson and look a little bit more and appreciate a little bit more, because this really is a powerful thing to just see the general breakdown of what's going on here as we really seek to gain a better appreciation and understanding in regard to what the more excellent way is that Paul talks about at the end of chapter 12, and he's going to actually amplify and tell us all about it in chapter 13. But what I'm after is that actually is something in which is what we are supposed to be operating upon today, and not upon the sovereign supernatural bestowal of spiritual gifts, but something has replaced that that's more excellent, that's better, that's more powerful, in fact, than even, if you can imagine it, the way it was done then. But we know it wasn't being done when it was being done, when there were diversities of gifts that the Spirit was naturally, or supernaturally rather, bestowing. It wasn't being done because it was something that was taking us and making us be spiritual Israel, or that we were supposed to be messianic Christians or anything along those lines, but that God had actually taken what was the sovereign rights of Israel, and by beginning to identify that he's changed the program, he simply allowed for a period of time Gentiles to utilize those, and nothing could be more starkly amazing to an Israelite that our whole program is it's been mothballed, it's in suspension, than to see their signs, their marvels, going to someone that shouldn't have them. And it was a way to confirm that. But there was something more than that as the reason for why a limited time at the beginning of this dispensation they occurred. And it was until God had an event take place that would replace that, not replace this whole system. This system is still in place today. There's just been an alteration made to the first part of it. The sovereign supernatural bestowal, the salient spectacular bestowing of spiritual gifts by the Holy Ghost has been replaced with something far greater and far more excellent, and really, it sounds odd to say it this way, is going to be seen more clearly by those operations of the Father. But this whole thing functioned as a unit, as a single whole. You never had a member of the Godhead, like the Spirit, just off on his own rogue jaunt and jag, just sprinkling gifts around where he wanted to, which is apparently the way a lot of folks seem to think it's done today. I've been around a lot of places where they've spoken tongues, and I've, in fact, never once heard somebody stand up and interpret. And that was never supposed to happen. But as we have illustrated before, this, what I call ecstatic speech, never was what the Bible calls tongues to begin with. It was the ability to be able to tell, as an Israelite could go out as he was doing and fulfilling his ministry to take the gospel unto all the world, he was inevitably going to come up against people who could not speak their language. And he was able, if it was a Frenchman, to give them perfect understanding of what he wanted to say in French, though he'd never studied it himself. And only a dishonest handling of the Word of God is going to make you arrive at the conclusion that what you commonly hear as the gibberish ecstatic speech is what the Bible talks about as tongues. That's just dishonest Bible handling flat out. But this structure is still in place. It's just that this has a more excellent way of getting it done than before a particular event that allowed the more excellent way to come in took place. And we'll identify that in time. But once again, here in verses 4, 5, and 6, Paul makes a statement with respect to spiritual gifts, and he applies that to every member of the Godhead, not just one. And verse 4 goes with verses 7 through 11, as we said, and we read through those verses in our last lesson. And it was the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, as he says there, when he talks about the Holy Spirit and the diversities of gifts, and then the Spirit is mentioned throughout that section of 7 through 11, verses 7 through 11, and he supernaturally equipped the members of the assembly there at Corinth with these spiritual gifts at the beginning of this dispensation of grace, which is where they were when they received this letter. And the spiritual gift provided them with a supernatural ability, listen, to do something. Not to just sit there and blabber, or not to just sit there and quake, or not to just have certain things happen, but they were to take that and do something with it. Every one of the gifts, as Paul's going to list them here, has something along those lines that when they were gifted with it, they were given the ability to do something. And it manifested the working of the Holy Spirit amongst that assembly. As Paul says there, I love how he puts it in that most excellent older English in verse 7. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now there's a word we don't use every day, with all. What does with all mean? Yeah, with all. Everyone was benefited by that. It was to the benefit of the entire body. And this goes hand in hand with everything we've been learning in Romans about us being members of a body. The first time you're told that there in Romans chapter 12, that you are members of a body in Christ. And so you have those body type attributes, and that body type thinking has to go on because of what we're going to be in the creature, in the heavenly places, when we are placed there, and we take those positions of authority and rulership that Paul will call principalities and powers and mights and dominions and thrones, and the whole of creation that surrounds the earth. We become the embodiment of the earth to put the operations of our Father into effect. And that's what sonship is for. And so we realize and we appreciate that these gifts were given these folks the ability to do something for the benefit of the body. And at that time, the working of the Holy Spirit was the one person of the Godhead who, because of just the nature of the way things are spelled out here, is the easiest one to identify as working among them. He was the one who was he was kind of the one on the shop floor, so to speak. I just leaped in my mind of like a factory where you have the folks, your workers on the shop floor, and then you may be like the father, but you're setting up in your office with the windows to view the whole thing. Well, the Spirit was the one who was most easily recognized because he was on the shop floor. He was the one that was distributing these spiritual gifts. And so he was the one who, of the three members of the Godhead, who was the most tangible, touchable, but he had the most tangible way for members of the assembly to realize his workings amongst them, right? I mean, that's pretty easy to see. If you suddenly get one of these gifts that the word of prophecy, if the assembly needed a particular aspect of God's word to effectually do a particular job, it hadn't been written yet, it hadn't been completed yet, but you had the ability to stand up and you would say that and you would proclaim and set forth that information to the assembly, and then guess what you would do? You'd sit down and you'd shut up. Well, there's a novelty. You would just stand up and proclaim what God had you to proclaim, then you'd sit down. That you had no more job to do than that. Or you had another, we could go through a lot of these. But all I'm saying is that when that's taking place in the assembly or on the shop floor of the factory, well, the Holy Spirit, of course, is the one that was, he was the one rubbing shoulders with the factory workers. So he's the one that's going to be kind of the most easily recognized and tangible member of the Godhead because of the nature of how he worked among them, as Paul says, to profit withal. But the problem with the Corinthians was if that's all they understood, and folks, if that's all you understand, there's a major problem caused by that. Because gifts aren't given just to show that our church is alive. Or something like that. You know, you go by churches and they have the sign out front, revival. And we're getting into summer revival season. I don't understand that, and I never will understand that. If you need revived as a church, you're admitting you're spiritually dead. I don't know why churches like to advertise, hey, look at us, we're spiritually dead. We need revived. If you ever need revived here, the first thing the board of deacons should do is get together and fire me. You don't get the Spirit doing these things just to show that we're a Spirit-filled church. Well, I want you to know that's a legitimate thing. Paul talks about being filled with the Spirit. But it's not that. And the idea that in most of these areas, and I don't mean to just attack anybody, but the idea is that most of these folks have no idea that this isn't some Lone Ranger operation. This attached itself to that, and that attached itself to that. And so therefore, if all you got is one level of the three, you got a major problem. This is where so many Pentecostals and charismatic types miss the boat in only recognizing the gifts of the Spirit. They don't recognize the differences of the administrations that belong to the body, the Lord Jesus Christ, nor how that those diversities of gifts attach to the differences of administrations and how all that attaches to the diversities of operations of God the Father. All they see is the gifts of the Spirit as being a sign that the Holy Ghost is among us. Or He's working in our midst. That's never been how this worked. Never. Never biblically was one day like that. In fact, if it ever was like that, it wasn't biblical and needed a great deal of correction by the Apostle Paul to make sure that that kind of thing never takes place. Because you're missing the overall master plan of what's going on here. And that's not how these things are ever designed to function, as if the Holy Spirit is the Lone Ranger, member of the Godhead. He's on high-ho silver, and off he goes to church after church like Santa Claus, distributing miracles and tongues to everybody, to all the good Christians. Never was that way. In fact, that's horrendous. So, therefore, what they're doing, as I said, they're missing two-thirds of what these gifts were designed for. And again, they were given and designed all to work together within the local assembly, the local body of Christ, in order for God the Father to ultimately be able to carry out His operations. And folks, that's one of the things that is missed in many circles today in Christianity, is that you are here to be trained. I love music as much as anybody. As a matter of fact, I was a music major. And if we ever did have anybody that could sing, that would be a novelty. It'd be great. But the real issue here is that this is designed for you to be a classroom and a mechanism to be trained. Your vocational training starts here. And you are being trained for one of the most phenomenal jobs that the human mind could ever wrap itself around, and that's to labor with your Father in the heavenly places in all of His business out there. And He's not going to take a son and put him into charge of something that has no intelligent understanding of what he's doing. I'm not saying you won't go to heaven when you die. I'm not saying that you're not going to be a part of the creature itself, but you're not going to be in a position of principality, power, might, authority, dominion, to be able to carry out your Father's operations intelligently. That's why it's so critical to utilize the time you've got now to be able to be properly and godly edified, as Paul says, which is in faith, and not in a form of edifying that has a form of godliness to it, but denies the power thereof. So the problems are real. and they're serious. And they can have a serious, serious implication to you. Well, I'm just saying that because it's not enough to just come along and appreciate the diversity issue of the gifts and be able to list them. And how silly, I even did it once, took a test to find out which spiritual gift I had. You know, check here, check here, check here. Oh, you've got the gift of exhortation. Didn't even know what it was. Couldn't have identified it. Couldn't have defined it, let alone described it. But it's not enough just to appreciate there's diversities of gifts. You have to appreciate the different roles of administration those gifts are designed to perform within the local assembly. And more than that, how that in the function of the local assembly, some of those gifts, and this just tears some folks up, were actually more important than others. That's right. And that's what we're going to look at. Some gifts were far more important than others. And these guys at Corinth had turned that thing up on its end and were emphasizing the least important gifts of all. And you can see that if you'll scan your eye down the chapter after you've gone through the amplification sections that deal with the sense and sequence and how you got the three levels to the working of these gifts, how they outwork to the Father being able to perform the diversities of His operations. When you get down to the end of the chapter, you're told that some of the gifts are more important than others. I showed it to you there in verse 31 when Paul says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts." He says that after what he says there, beginning in verse 28, and we're going to look at that. Some of those gifts were to be looked upon as better. They were higher ranking. That's exactly what Paul's going to do. He's going to rank them. No matter where you read in your Bible, whenever you come across a listing of things in your Bible, it's not random. There's no randomness in God's Word. And these are in a particular order, and they are ranked from, as Paul was going to do it here, they're ranked from the highest best to the lowest and the least. And they were supposed to be. That's not wrong. To be able to discriminate and say that's a better one, but that one's not. They were to be looked upon that way. So look at verse 28. When Paul begins to amplify up there at verse 28, you can look on here and see, okay, he's beginning to amplify on verse 6, the Father's diversities of operations. Look at verse 28. He says, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." Tongues is the last one listed. It's the least of them all. And then he's going to ask some provoking questions. Every question which is designed to have the answer, no. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. By the way, that last one, do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Well, what I'm after is that, once again, you understand and appreciate that there's a ranking being given. You've got a rank of the gifts. First, this. Second, this. Third, after that, that's a rank. And the Corinthians, as well as really, anyone who does this today, the Pentecostal charismatic types today, the Corinthians didn't, and they don't today, have any appreciation for that. That their conduct and their behavior with these gifts actually make evident that they don't appreciate that. There's a bunch of folks that believe the only way that you can actually truly lay claim to being saved, to being justified unto eternal life, you've got to do something. Something has to happen more than just simply you believe that Christ died for you, was buried, and arose again. But that there has to be evidence of that being given by the speaking of tongues. I've had people tell me that I wasn't saved because there was no evidence of speaking in tongues. Well, not only can I not speak any other language, I can barely speak the one I... English is sometimes a challenge. That's awful. That's just a terrible thing to say to somebody. But when you don't have an appreciation for this, I can see where that comes from. And those kinds of folks, their conduct and behavior with these gifts make it evident that they don't understand that. In fact, there is a manifestation of ignorance with respect to that. And if there is a manifestation of ignorance of these three areas, the adversary is going to grab a hold of that and take advantage of it. In fact, as you go on down through chapter 13 and on into chapter 14 especially, you're going to find that so mixed up were the Corinthians concerning spiritual gifts, they'd actually taken one of the least... You ever wonder why it is as you read through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, then when you hit verse 14, man, oh man, just the bulk of what Paul's talking about in chapter 14 is tongues, 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 tongues. Yeah, that's because they had actually taken the least of all of those gifts and were promoting that one as being the best one of them all. And the gift that was designed to function the most and to be the greatest benefit to the local assembly at that time, that gift was being relegated to the position and the rank of being least among them. By the way, that's one of the reasons they treated Paul the way they treated him, like a spiritual schizophrenic. He was an apostle. But to them, that was nothing. They spoke in tongues. That's how successful the satanic policy of evil was at Corinth. And therefore, what you've got here, setting forth in chapters 12, this chapter 12 again, you've got corrective doctrine, and there has to be some quick corrections made, or else they're really going to be in a mess. And they were recognizing all good and well the role of one member of the Godhead. They had that down really good. The Holy Spirit in giving diversities of gifts, but they didn't at all recognize what those diversities of gifts were given for in accordance with the differences in administrations of the same Lord that was being served by them all. And they didn't realize that those differences of administrations serving the same Lord, that was subservient to the accomplishment of the diversities of the operations of God the Father, who determined and designed to accomplish all of his operations with them as sons. And the gifts are not designed to function independently. Again, the gifts are not designed to function independently. They're designed to function in a cooperative effort to serve the Lord. The second one there, the one in the middle. And for the accomplishing of some things in the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly in his body, which today is the new creature of the church, a body of Christ. And when you have that expression there in verse 5, and there are differences of administrations, that word administrations there, and that's a fantastic expression. An administration is just exactly what the English word says, add ministering. It's adding to a ministry. It's a ministry that adds or aids ministering to or serving a particular individual. These gifts that when we get back to Romans, we're going to be able to talk about them with some intelligence now as being now offices. This should be clicking some. Serve to add or aid to the ministry of the body of Christ, which for all intents and purposes for now, I know there's a universal church made up of every member every Christian in the world, but it starts within the walls of the local assembly. And that's going to those particular areas, and as we will see, it's not going to be sovereignly bestowed by the Holy Spirit anymore, because as adult sons, we don't need that because of the more excellent way that's going to provide a different way of the diversities of gifts among us, but they still go to the differences of administrations. Aiding and ministering to serving that particular individual, and the individual here is the Lord Jesus Christ himself as this new creature, the body, the church, the body of Christ. So you have to, and the Corinthians had to appreciate how that each of these spiritual gifts were designed to fit like that puzzle that I talked about into serving and ministering to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what that big section there in verses 12 through 27 is dealing with, that we went over in some detail quite some time ago. But that's the context within which that section took place. That section describes us as that living union, that unit that we are as the body and members one of another. And brings out the conduct and behavior in connection with those spiritual gifts according to those body attributes that all funnels to and goes to serve the overall goal and function of the body of Christ. But it doesn't end there. That's just the second step. Even more critical than that, especially when the Apostle Paul comes along and describes the temporary nature of spiritual gifts later on here in chapter 13. Really, folks, the big issue of it all, the major piece of information that ignorance of caused the Corinthians to get in the most trouble over, and it will cause us in this assembly that kind of trouble as well, is the issue of verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The operations is what we need to know what those are. At least in a general way, we need to get a just understanding of that. The operations are the issue of all the workings of or all the operations of something according to an overall master plan in order to get some specific, particular, identifiable objective accomplished. That's what those operations are. That's just the general definition of them. It doesn't describe them. But the reason why God has Paul use that expression, diversities of operations, is to get that in your mind, that this is a master plan that has real, identifiable, definable, specified objectives that have to be accomplished. So God didn't come along and just give spiritual gifts for no reason at all. And you're not given differing ways of serving the Lord. You're not in differences of administrations for no reason at all. But you've got all those things there because there's some diversities of operations that God is getting accomplished through these diverse gifts and different administrations. We haven't even gotten into details yet, but that gives you a lot right there. But in order for you to be able to labor with your Father properly as a son and as a daughter, and to be able to have real intelligent understanding as his son, you've got to have an appreciation for what the diversities of his operations are, so that as you go about putting your godly sonship thinking and godly sonship living into practice to do that labor with him, you've got an appreciation for what's going on. You're not just blindly doing something. You're not going to look around the assembly and say, you know, I'd like to operate this way or that way. I'd like to, you know, I'm going to fulfill this particular role just because you know that you've got some pressure to do something. No, you're going to do that because you're going to be able to say, I know what the operation my Father wants accomplished through doing that. Again, this makes it so you don't need an opportunity board like we used to have. And by the way, folks, this is, this, I'm not even, you talk about not scratching the surface, we're not even touching the surface hard enough to give it a scratch. When I, in connection with what I said a few, several lessons ago when I told you, you have no idea what God Himself has designed a local assembly to do. Most Christians go their whole lives going to church and they never even get a glimmer of an understanding of what God has designed a local assembly to be able to do. This is just maybe cracking an eye open to just a little bit of it. There's a lot more going on. Well, Paul's going to amplify on that operations issue there again from verse 28, not a very long section there, from verses 28 through 31. And we'll just, we're really getting about out of time. So when you look there in verse 28, we read through that. And again, all we're doing tonight is to try to get us familiar with it. By ranking those gifts the way he does, you're able to understand what the best ones are. They're the ones first, and then second and third. And on the basis of that, the Corinthians were to be able to get some corrective procedure underway, which they so desperately needed, and stop being victimized any further by the policy of evil. And then by understanding and appreciating the three roles of the three members of the Godhead that they all have in all of this, especially the last one of the Father, the diversities of operations, then Paul, only then can he come along and say, on the basis of all of that that I got accomplished in those 31 verses of chapter 12, yet I show you a more excellent way. That is, a more excellent way than even though it is what it is, and I know some of you already know what the more excellent way is, but I'm teaching it as if you didn't. Even though it is what it is, with the more excellent way, it's going to accomplish this overall design. It's not going to put a wrinkle in this design at all. All it's going to do is take one area of it and make it even better than that. You say, how could it be? Well, you underestimate something. How could it be better than the Holy Spirit sovereignly bestowing gifts? Well, if you'll think back, there's something God reveres even more than Himself. And it's that that's going to become the more excellent way. I'm intentionally trying to make this a cliffhanger, even though I know it's not a cliffhanger to the majority of you. But there's something God reveres even more than Himself, and He made that very clear in His Word. Paul says, I show unto you a more excellent way. And even with that more excellent way, it's going to accomplish this overall design. And it's certainly the most excellent, more excellent way is going to accomplish the diversities of the operations of God. And there in the latter part of chapter 13, Paul sets it forth. It's actually sitting right there in verse 10. That's the more excellent way. When Paul says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Well, there's something more excellent that's going to be provided. And guess who provides it? The one who is sovereignly bestowing them is going to provide the more excellent way. It's that member of the Godhead especially that has to do with the more excellent way. That's going to replace the way he was giving gifts temporarily as this dispensation got underway. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and that more excellent way is going to be provided. And I'm not saying that he's isolated. I'm not saying that the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father don't have a hand in it, because they certainly do. But it's better and more excellent than having any or all of these spiritual gifts supernaturally bestowed. Well, just to end up things tonight, once again, these are all going to be eventually done away. And you're going to be left with this more excellent way than this temporary way. And when the Corinthians heard that, they ought to come along, and we ought to come along and say, yippee, yay. And they ought to appreciate this as a more excellent thing. Unfortunately, when you describe this to many Christians today, they think it's a sad thing, a terrible thing, and call you a heretic and all this. And they say, why? Well, because I've done it. And there you go. I lose every time. I'll lose to an experience. God's word doesn't mean anything to somebody who's had an experience. And so once again, this should be cause for rejoicing. But the only way any Christian today is going to be able to appreciate this more excellent way and the provision we have now that is more excellent than any of these or all of these things, these spiritual gifts, is to understand and appreciate those diversities of operations of God the Father. And that those can be accomplished to an even better and greater, more excellent way and degree by something else than by the Spirit supernaturally bestowing gifts. And to understand that, that more excellent way provision he's made is where, listen, the more excellent way is where, listen, where God has deposited all of his operations. They're all deposited in that more excellent way for the balance of this dispensation of grace. And here's the rub. We'll see this is where he's deposited his power to accomplish all the things he wants accomplished in that more excellent provision. Everybody gets the idea that this supernatural bestowing, that was the, how could God's power be any greater than that? It can. And we've got the greater power right now than that. He's vested all of his operations in his word. He's vested all of his power to accomplish the things he wants accomplished in his word, in that more excellent provision. Well, we'll stop right there. Beginning on Sunday, we're going to begin looking at more of a survey, even though we kind of did that already, and looking at the breakdown of this, of chapter 12. But what we really want to focus our attention upon is verses 28 through 31, that we need to get a better understanding of what the diversities of operations are. And out of that, we will see there's no harm at all to God's operations by changing up the diversities of gifts and doing away with those, and all you do is take this out and put the more excellent way here, zoop, the whole thing gets accomplished in a far better way. As God himself said, it is more excellent. And I don't know of any language that we could have that would supersede being more excellent. But anyway, we'll stop right there, and we'll pick it up here on Sunday morning with our heads back.